Okay, I just want to pray for Shannon yet before she comes. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor, and I pray now for your Holy Spirit to be upon her. She preaches and shares her message with us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
That's right. Amen. So apparently last week I had my microphone on upside down and backwards and all kinds of things. So this week I think we've got it. Have we got sound back there, Rebecca? Yay. So anyhow, thank you, Wendy, for lending me your mic for this morning. Oh, man. Anybody ever been on a boat when there's a storm? Yep. So there was a storm raging, and the captain realized that the ship was going down, sinking fast. And he called out, oh, boy. Okay, sorry. And he called out, is there anyone who knows how to pray? And so a man put up his head. He says, I'm a pastor. And he stepped forward. Captain, I know how to pray. Good, said the captain. You pray while the rest of us put on life jackets because we're one short. I think I'm going to have the same bit of problem here. Have you ever been in that situation where I know how to pray, but all of a sudden now you have to trust your prayers? Have faith in what you're praying? Oh, okay. Yeah, what happens is this flips on me here, especially when I put my glasses on. All righty. So, now here's my other question. Have you ever felt or been in a place where you just don't think you have enough faith to believe the promises of God? And then you do something like this. Okay, so we know this morning, when you think you don't have enough faith or have no faith, then we read a scripture like this from Romans. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Who are we talking about? Abraham. I find this scripture interesting. And I mean, when you feel like you have no faith, does this bring you faith? Or does it feel accusatory? Oh, man, I'm not like Abraham at all. But I don't know if you ever walked through the story of Abraham and seen how many times Abraham did not have faith. So why is it talking about did not waver through unbelief? You know, when I read that, he didn't waver through the unbelief. Did he have unbelief? He did, but he didn't waver in regards to God. He had unbelief, he didn't know how it was going to happen, all this kind of stuff. But God is who God said he is. Indeed. You might be at a place right now where you feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. We pray and we pray and I pray and I pray. I keep trying. And you know what? I simply don't think I have any faith left. When you think that way, you're not alone. I'm sorry, my glasses are extremely dirty. You're not alone. I want you to listen to this verse here. If we are faithless, he remains faithful and cannot deny himself. Doesn't that give you, you know, that, oh, thank you. When I'm at a place when I am faithless, when I just can't seem to believe anything, he's still faithful. And he cannot deny himself. In other words, the promises that he has made, he's not going to deny them and step back from them. He is faithful to every promise he has ever made to us. In fact, scripture tells us every promise is yes and amen to those who are in Christ Jesus. He is faithful. When it seems like your answer to prayer is never coming and you're faithless, he remains faithful. He gives those promises. And it's not for us to work up faith. You got to work it up. Anybody ever tried to work up faith? How did it work? Not very good. Because we're trying to do, and we're not human doings, we're human. We need to be resting in the finished work of Jesus, resting in his faithfulness, resting in his promises, because the one who promised is faithful. Now, I'm going to say it is okay when sometimes we're battling unbelief and we have those doubts going on. I'm going to step one back there. Look, whoops. Going the other direction here, maybe. There it is. Even Abraham, you know what? He stepped out and did a lot of things he shouldn't have done, having the promises of God, but was God still faithful in his promises? Every single one of them. God remained faithful, even though he did it. Our Abraham, you know, had his waverings in his own doubts, but not in who God was. So I say this, it's okay when we have the battles. It's okay when the doubts come, as long as we don't stay there. As long as we don't give up, as long as we don't throw our hands up in the air and say, I'm done with God. That usually means we're believing something else that we shouldn't be. And one of the ways that we remedy faithlessness or our having, you know, lost the faith or don't find, is to get into the Word of God. Expose yourself to the Word of God. And that's really hard to do when you don't have faith, when you're feeling down. But, you know, we live in a day and age today where you can put the Word on and just let it play on YouTube or on your phone, put the Bible while you're doing anything. So there's really no excuse for why not you're not letting the Word of God come to you, because we have lots of excuses. How many of you have this in your arsenal? I'm just too busy. Am I the only one putting up my hand? I'm just too busy. I'm just tired. God, do you know what I have to do in a day? Have you seen my life? Sorry, this thing is bumping into me. I can't wait till my bike's back. I'm sorry. Big things hanging on my face is just, you know, wrong. When we don't take that time and come up with our excuses, I'm going to say, what is the next season that we're coming into? Spring. And what happens in the spring? The snow goes away, praise God. And new life. What does the farmer do? He watches the snow melt, and he stands back and waits for the field to grow. He works the soil, plants the seed. And then, right? He's decided what he's going to plant, but he has to plant the seed. We're going to get into that a little bit here. Lost my spot. So if we want to battle our unbelief and our sense of that, I have no faith, there is the remedy of the Word of God. And how does faith come? By hearing. By the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We hear the message of Jesus. And in Romans here it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. This is the NIV. The message of Christ, the message of Jesus, when we hear it, when we're allowing that seed to come our way. Jesus shared a parable. And maybe you remember this parable. Let's see. It's if you remember this parable, I'm going to put a picture up here. Who do you think that's a parable of? Now, where do we see our prodigal son here? It's the prodigal son. He's where? He's in the pig pen, this nice Jewish boy who doesn't eat pork. He's in the pig pen. And we kind of know the pre-story to this. But I want to talk about what's happening in his heart. Where he is at the lowest of lows. And I want you to think, how much faith do you think he has in God at this point? None. Not a whole lot. Except he has a little bit of something. Can I say something about the size of a mustard seed? Maybe I'm mixing my parables here. But he starts doing something. He starts remembering something. His heart starts reminding him about his father. His father is what? His father's generous. His father's kind. His father even gives the hired servants, the ones who are getting a paycheck, he even feeds them, and they have more than enough. He starts changing his believing. He starts getting it in line with the truth. And when we look at this, the prodigal son is about the who are the prodigals? Any of us could be the prodigals. And who's the father? God, our Heavenly Father. And Jesus teaches this parable, and we see that the heart of the son is changing as he sits down and remembers how good his father is. When we're in these place of no faith and not seeing answered prayer, and that sometimes we just need to sit down, recognize where we are. We're in the middle of a pig pen with our thinking and our attitude, and we have to and sit there and think about, but my Father, our Heavenly Father, he's good, and he's kind, and he's faithful, and he provides, and we get our thinking in line with the truth of God, the real, the faithful one. When the Father sees the Son coming, I love this picture. He doesn't just stand there or casually walk out. He runs. And when we get our thinking, and we talked this morning in our Sunday morning live about getting our imaginations engaged with the Word of God, and hopefully this picture, your Heavenly Father, when you get something like that, he comes running. When we're sitting in the pig pen and finally realize how good he is and get out of the pig pen of our thinking and see our Father, go to our Father and see him, he comes running with open arms to you, to me. And he embraces him. And we know that the son begins to receive beyond the expectation he had. You see, the father is willing to give us and has already all things for us through Christ. Do we not have an incredible inheritance? But we spend a whole lot of time sitting in the pig pen with our thinking and not seeing in our mind's eye, not establishing our hearts in the good things that God has already given us. And when we wonder where our faith is, sometimes it's because of where our thoughts have been. Do we expect of God? Do we see him as a good God? Here's a question. Do you have a good opinion of God? What's your opinion of God? I heard a little saying, I heard it put this way, that faith, with its good opinion, justifies God and makes the devil a liar. But the opposite is true on that, that unbelief justifies Satan and makes God appear to be a liar. If you don't think God is moving on your behalf, who are you justifying? And what are you saying about God? Is it a good opinion, or are you making him out to be a liar? Ooh. Can you smell the lightning? Shh. No, kidding. Well, let's take a look at another person who had a bit of a struggle with faith. And I'm going to get you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Oh, Genesis people. We're going to start in chapter 18. And this is talking about Abraham and Sarah, but mostly we're going to get to Sarah. So starting in, I'll just give you a little heads up where we are. We got three visitors that have come to see Abraham. And the very first verse of chapter 18, it says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre." I didn't pronounce that right. So we know who we're dealing with. Two people, we believe they're two angels of God, and Jesus, the Lord. The Lord manifests. So verse 9, "Where is your wife Sarah?" he asked him, asking Abraham. "There in the tent," he said. When one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the tent, entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. Not just old, very old. Anybody want to give an age to that? No, don't do that. Very old. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out, my Lord is old. Will I now have this pleasure?" Okay. I don't think you have to be old to feel worn out. Hey, ladies? But there is a place of feeling worn out. And then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time." I want you to hold on to that appointed time next year. There is an appointed time for things. And Sarah, appointed time. And Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid. She giggled. She heard this. She was afraid. So she lied. I did not laugh. But he said to her, "Yes, you did." There's wonderful Sarah. Verse 21, starting at verse 1. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave him the name Isaac. To the son Sarah bore him. When Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" Notice she doesn't say her old age. His old age. God is faithful to his promises. Sarah received her miracle. But you know what? It wasn't right away. And I don't have no doubt in my mind that for all the years of her life, she desired that child, to have children. And here she is, about 80 years old, when Abraham first gets a promise of a son. Then you know what? Abraham kind of gets his son through Ishmael, and I don't think he was maybe as focused. Maybe he was. I don't know. But here's Sarah. She still hasn't had a child. And God himself speaks the word. The Lord speaks the word. A year from now, you will have a son. Jill's going to have a son. And I'll be back at the appointed time, and she will have this son. Now, Did Sarah have a bit of a struggle with that at first? In fact, yeah, right, I'm going to have a son. I'm old, he's old, come on. This isn't going to happen. Like, really, after all these years? She had a struggle. But the word of the Lord was still spoken. It was a year later. How long does it take for a baby to grow? So she had 3 months to ponder the word of God. 3 months to listen and let the seed of the word of God strike her heart. Now, let's bump ahead here. There's that baby. Not a grandson, a child, her own. Hebrews 11:11, talking about Sarah's, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear a child because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. What did she do? She changed her opinion of God. She considered God faithful. She got her miracle because she established her heart in who God was. She heard the word and 3 months went over that promise God had made to her. How many promises in the New Testament and the Old Testament are yours? And now how many of them did God say that they're for you? To which he said, yes and amen. And when we need, what we sometimes don't spend the time pondering the faithfulness of God. Here's the scripture, but we don't ponder the faithfulness. We don't have an opinion of God. God, yes, this is for some people, but not me. Because if it's for me, I would have already seen it. Sarah, way past childbearing age. No, this isn't for me because if it was, it would have happened by now. Because that's how she saw it. But God said, gave a promise. By this time next year, at the appointed time, you will see it. He is faithful. Now, let's take a look at Sarah. Did she have faith in the moment? Was she kind of mocking it, what he said? Yeah, right, this promise is for me. I don't think so. And then when she was challenged on it, what did she do? She lied. An unfaithful, mocking liar. But what did she do? What happened? Did that change who God was?
No.
Did that change what he said he would do? Did it interrupt that? No. But she had the time to hear the word and conceive in her heart. And as we said this morning, see in her heart that promise that then became manifest in her life as she held her baby boy that she herself gave birth to, conceived, carried, and gave birth to.